Welcome to our second FBC Pastors Talk here in this series, Our God. Pastors Jared and Mike are continuing to discuss the book of Ecclesiastes. And last time the title of our talk was Our God is Sovereign Over the Things of the Earth. Jared, can you give us a quick summary of last week's episode and what we can expect this week?
Yeah, sure. Last week, again, the kind of the big picture was just what is Ecclesiastes all about? Altogether, since I was surprised recently in my personal study just to see that, the writer's just not wanting us to spin our wheels in this idea that everything is vanity and meaningless and no purpose at all. But the fact that he actually wants us to feel that, so we're driven to God. And he does actually show us at several points in the book that when we do turn to God and see him as what should be the thing or the person that we find all of our hope in, then the things of the earth do make sense. And they find their place, and we actually can enjoy them and find meaning in them, but only when we have God first and we're right with him first. But today, we're going to be looking at Ecclesiastes or continuing in Ecclesiastes from the perspective of God is sovereign over the times. As we're going to transition from chapter 2 and get into chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, which is probably one of the most well-known portions of Scripture at one time. Going back to some of our older viewers, they probably remember in 1965, the Byrds releasing their hit album Turn, 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 where you had this entire youth culture that actually had this entire section of Scripture probably even memorized and committed to memory. So we're going to work through it today and see if we can't make sense of it, especially given the times that we're in. So Josh, you mind if I go ahead and just read that portion of Scripture and we'll get into it?
Go for it, Jared.
All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, where the writer says, "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to hear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." So Mike, is there a bit of irony in this, in that this is one of the most familiar portions, probably still for even believers of the Bible, and at one time, an entire culture perhaps having it memorized, but yet, is it still, or would you argue that it was somewhat of an enigma and still today?
Yeah, I mean, this is, if you don't catch the pivot point is what you called it last week. If that doesn't jump out at you in chapter 2, you can see this as just a continuation of just pessimism, almost just glass half full, like, well, you live, you toil, you find pleasures of life, and you're born and you die, and then you plant and you uproot, you build and it tears down. And you could see this as just, again, just life is meaningless. Why are we even doing what we're doing? But you got to catch chapter 2, right? Verse 24, I believe it is. And then the bookend, I would argue, what? Chapter 3, verse 13, where it ends with, "This is God's gift to man." But if you don't catch that, it's like this continual vanity, you know, like just weighty, if you want to say. So, yeah, it's but really looked at again, as I know we will today, just encouraging, you know, that all this stuff matters, seen through over the heaven, if you or over the sun mentality.
Yeah, and that's exactly the transition I went through, even in my own study, coming into it with that typical perspective of up here, here's this a setting. Again, he's just kind of going through being a realist. These are all the things that we're going to experience. We know they're going to happen. So just kind of get used to it or just accept the fact that these things are going to happen. But as you pointed out, we're still in this section of that transition where he is looking at things above the sun with God in mind. And we even see that in chapter 3, verse 1, where for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. So he's looking under heaven, not just under the sun, and that book, and then in verse 13, as you mentioned, and so that's so key for us. I think first to keep in mind. Secondly, even the language itself in verse 1 besides the under the heaven, which, yeah, makes us realize, oh, yeah, we're looking at it from God's perspective now. Even the language he uses here for the time has significance to it, that he's not just talking about, oh, there's going to be chronology of time, and these are the things you're going to experience, this and then this. The word season here in verse 1 actually carries the idea of having ordered purpose. It's not that the word chronology necessarily, and I think that's why the New American Standard even has this idea of there's an appointed time for everything. And that was so helpful for me to realize too. Wouldn't you agree?
For sure. I mean, so then you look at, again, if we look at it from heavenly perspective, it's the appointed time, which God's perfect timing is perfect because it's God's, right? And so when we see it from that perspective, it you know, there's opportunities within every season then. So then you look at it as not so much I just do this and do this, but it's like within this season there's opportunities, and so then it becomes encouraging, and again from the hand of God.
Yeah. Yep. Even if difficult, which that's where the rubber meets the road, and it's harder to do it during the hard times versus the good times. But I think there's even traps for the good times, because we can kind of, I think, go on cruise control then too and not see purpose in that. But we'll talk about that when we get to the application. Two things jump out at me as I think of Philip Graham Ryken and his commentary that I've been reading pretty closely as I've gone through the study. Just two things I want to read here that he says are helpful. He says about this section, far from being a fatalist, the preacher has come to a proper appreciation of the sovereignty of God over time and eternity. He says the preacher is not saying that God is arbitrary and thus there is nothing we can do about what happens. His point is rather is that there is a fitness to what happens, or kind of an appropriateness, that what is happening, even though we wouldn't want it or maybe ask for it, that there's a purpose for it. And that's kind of what we've been driving at. But there's a third thing, Mike, that jumps out to me, which is just kind of the all-inclusiveness of the list that's here. As you go down through this list, you have these things that, again, as you go down through them, you have things like being born and dying, a time to weep and a time to laugh. And one thing that Ryken pointed out to me is that you're not just supposed to see these things as polar opposites, that he's good here and he's also good, or he has a purpose there on the polar opposites, but it's meant to also encapsulate everything in between. That these are kind of these couplets that are to have this vast sweeps of experiences. Ryken says that these pairs all form what's called a merism in the Hebrew language, a figure of speech in which the two polarities make up the whole. Kind of like when the Bible says when God created the heavens and the earth, it's supposed to be that God created everything. And so we have this horizontal inclusiveness when it talks about a time to keep and cast away, but also from top to bottom, you have these 14 pairs of experiences that kind of just cover the broad sweep of life. And that's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we just think of those big moments in life, right? Like the mountaintops of life. And sad to say, we all fall into those traps of almost like chasing after those things. And I, you know, he's pointing out here that no, not just birth, not just death, but everything in between, right? Not just planting the seed and then not just harvesting it, but the whole process is a hand of God, which makes you think about every single thing that happens, not just in the big moments in life, but just everyday moments are all of the hand of God. And, you know, it made me think of the whole, you know, the phrase of enjoying the process, right? It's almost like it's enjoying the journey. You know, for sure, I thought of, again, you know, the Pilgrim's Progress book of just it's the day by day, right? It's the day by day toil. And it's also the day by day tears, the day by day mountaintops and low points, that you can have joy in all those things. Not that all those things are always enjoyable, but when we know that they're from the hand of God, it just completely changes your perspective. And I think you said this last week, it kind of, it restrains you a little bit from almost from getting too much all about the big things in life, or too much all about the low points. And it just kind of keeps you steady in some ways, reminding us of just that day by day life in Christ.
Yeah. Which again is obviously so vital when we think about even the times we're going through now, the season we're going through now. But I just couldn't help but write down a few things of just how this not only is applicable for now, but even can prepare us for the next season we're going to come up as we come out of this season or whatever we're going through. And so, Mike, I want to get your thoughts on some of these applications, some things I jotted down in light of this section. And then the first one's obvious. We've already talked about it. I think we just need to realize that whatever season we're living in, if we're in a difficult time, it's not a time to just endure and get through. You know, it's not a time that we just kind of hunker down and take shelter and say, all right, when the better time comes, then I'll reengage mentally, emotionally, spiritually with what's going on. So, and I think that, again, that has to do with a season of life or even a bad event. It's singular. And so we've, they're not just times to get through, they're times to see what the Lord has for us. But also don't put too much stock in the good times. That's a trap we fall into as well, where we become so married to them that we get to the point we can only function when things are good, you know? And so, but I think you also bring up a good point too, is let's not fall in a trap of categorizing things as either bad or good. Things are both, everything is an opportunity to either to engage with the Lord and his purposes and to seek out what he's doing.
Well, I think verse 11, right, points that out. It says he has made everything beautiful in its time. And so, I mean, it's, you know, sometimes we make this statement like God, that was perfect timing. Well, usually when we say that, it's like when, for instance, maybe finances come at the perfect timing, or someone was in a certain place at a certain time and things turned out to what we would consider as good, right? But we got to be careful with categorizing things, as you said, because if everything is beautiful in its perfect timing, and it is because it's God's timing, then not only the finances that show up so you can buy yourself a new fridge, if you want to say, are beautiful in its time, but also, it's hard to say, but the fridge breaking down, if you want to say, can be beautiful in its time. And the reason it's not usually, and we all fall into this trap, don't we, is because we can't see everything with clear, perfect eyes from God's perspective. And so we have a tendency to categorize those things, and yet God is, right, teaching us and using all of those things in his appointed time to work out his purposes and his plans. And so we just have to get back. We always have to come back to that. Even in the what we call the bad times, they're so beautiful in its time because it's his time.
Yeah.
A pitfall that we can fall into is we think that we are the main character in our own movie. That all of us are the lead. We're the hero of everything. And so we live our life in that way.
Sometimes we don't want to understand it because we don't want to understand it, right? Like, because it's not working out for what I deem is good in my life, but it's all good. Again, we all know Romans 8:28, right? It all things work together. And they're for our good and for his glory, right? And so it's all good. It just, we use that terminology when it pertains to something that's beneficial to us. And we don't look, as you said, I think, Josh, as God is, he is the center of the story. We aren't. We're just support actors, if you want to say, in some ways, you know?
And I was even thinking what you're saying just a minute ago about us getting caught up in us being the center of everything that's going on. And we're the main character of our story, if you will, and how this passage can't, it just blows me away to think of who our God is and what he is capable of doing and how he is so sovereign that he can take the millions of people, the billions of people on the earth and the hundreds of millions of believers that are alive at one time and have them simultaneously going through different things that all have a purpose, but then also have one big thing like this, the COVID-19, where we're all going through it, but it's affecting us in different ways. And yet he is sovereign over not only what happens, but he is able to sovereignly make it purposeful, have it purpose for each and every one of us. So that is kind of tailor-made in a way. But at the same time, that just makes me think of God and how amazing He is. As we, you know, the point of this is kind of to talk about our God and how He's sovereign over these things. And
yeah, I mean, it's unique times, as we all know. And I think I have some of those same tendencies, Jared. And I'm assuming Josh, you do too. It's just like, there's some days where it seems like it's like, come on, let's just get through this. And then there's other days where you do get recentered and you try and think through all the blessings that God has brought forth through this. And there are a lot. I mean, it was such a sweet time with my kids the other night of, I mean, you have that normal question from kids of like, what are we doing? Like, why is God doing this? You know, and those are just special times that you can start literally listing off the things that have been brought out that are blessings that are going on that maybe weren't going on before. And so I think it's inevitable. We're going to see, I mean, there's going to be a tension there, right? It just, and every day is different, it seems like. And, but that's where coming back to this, the knowing even tonight, we're going to go to sleep and we're going to wake up, and this is the day the Lord's made, right? And may we rejoice. May we have joy in today, in every single thing that goes on today. This too is of the hand of God. Again, I realize that's easy to say. It's easy for me to say. Sometimes it's obviously a lot harder to live. And so it's just coming back to the word is so vitally important in these times. So.
Yeah. And I think these, even as you read down through this list, there's realism here that things are going to be difficult. Death is difficult. Weeping is in here. In 1 Thessalonians, we're going to come to, Paul says, he doesn't tell them not to sorrow. But there's a way that we sorrow. So we can have multiple emotions at the same time, that even though something's difficult, and many people are going through difficult things because of COVID. And so we're not minimizing that, but it's that, and things are going to be a struggle. But the bottom line is, I guess, are we able to look at it from this perspective so we don't spill over then into the bitterness and anger towards God, which then we're ultimately saying, then God, you don't have a right to bring this. And to act this way and to bring this in my life. And that's what we're trying to not spill over into. Josh, you were going to say something.
We as humans think that we have the power over our own lives. We want to be the captain of our ship. And those are all thoughts that we deal with. But in reality, we need to give God the glory for whatever comes in our life, including this crisis and all the other struggles. I'm reminded that as you look down that list, there's absolutely great things in there. You know, there's births and there's embracing and there's laughter. But there are also things which are tainted by the fall there, tainted by the effects of sin, like death and sadness and pain. And so I think, like you just said, we have to be reminded of who is the creator and give him the glory for it.
Well, Josh, that actually merges into the next thought I had, which was the fact that when realizing there is seasonality in this world, and by that I don't mean the four seasons of winter, spring, summer, and fall, but seasons of these going back and forth between these sweeping different experiences from bad to good and good to bad, it makes me long for the next world where there will be no seasonality. Doesn't it? I mean, where we know that finally, again, everything will be as it should be. There won't be from bad or from good to bad and bad to good. It will all be good. And good in the sense of enjoyable, because we know it's all good now, but in sense that it is the way that it will be. And doesn't this just make you long? It is a time for us to be reminded that sin did enter the world, that things are messed up in this world because of what we did in our rebellion. And COVID-19 is one of those stark reminders of just how broken things are.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point to bring up, because we're talking about things are good in God's perfect timing. You know what? You don't think about some of these scenarios and situations out there that I personally haven't had up close and personal firsthand experience with, but there's sin taking place in the midst of this too, right? It's not like the world's just kind of hugging one another right now and everything's just kind of in a standstill and we're like, no, there's ugly things going on in the world right now. I mean, you know, you think of, reading things like mental illness struggles and things where, you know, single moms are in their homes with their kids and struggling through school and hard things are going on. I mean, people are standing in line, struggling whether or not they're going to get food. And it reminds you of the tainted world we live in. And I mean, it just, yes, it makes me long for sure. And I think it reminds me of the compassion. I mean, I'm thankful that the Lord had compassion on me, you know, and I know you guys are too. And as believers, how, you know, wherever we land, you know, with what's going on, why it's going on, how it's going on, these are real things. And I think I said that the first time I preached, right at the week after this happened. These are real things going on in our lives, right? And so there's real fears, there's real struggles, there's real difficulties. And so as believers, how can we come alongside and point people to the only thing that ultimately is going to give us satisfaction?
It just makes me long for that day when everything will be right every day.
So yeah, since the fall, you have these seasonal changes, which without God, you're just like, you're grasping at the next thing. You're trying to fill yourselves up. And then you get to the end of the tether, if you want to say, and it's empty again. And so I think these things are even put in for reminding us that these things don't ultimately satisfy. They're not going to satisfy in the end. And even when we get out of this thing, right? I mean, we're going to get out of this thing and, you know, life, I don't know what the new normal, if there's going to be a new normal, and old, I don't know. But if you don't have Christ, you're going to be unsatisfied even after you get out of it, right? I mean, you're not going to be satisfied just because you got out of the COVID-19. There's going to be something else.
Yeah, I mean, from the non-believer perspective, when this shift takes place, so to speak, from the writer of Ecclesiastes, they have to be thinking, how does that happen? Because I'm not experiencing that. I've tried all these things. I'm trying all these things. And I never get to the point where it actually can be enjoyable, truly have joy and have it be enjoyable, because I know it's going to end. I know I'm going to need something else. There still is a hole there. So I think that would drive them to ask, how do I know this God? Because apparently God changed the picture here. So yeah, I think it would drive us to the gospel. And or at least asking, what is the answer to the void? How did he get that? For sure. And then for the believer, it would be, setting our thinking back on track. The believer as well as the non-believer, like we talked last week, can try to find joy in the things of the earth in an inappropriate way or in an imbalanced way. And so this could snap us back into putting things into perspective. So I think it does have application for both.
To be transparent, like I've gone through these same ebbs and flows over the past month or two, where there's just days where it's just, and you got to be reminded God's timing is his timing. God, you know, and so we can fall into the trap of the non-believer. We can think from under the sun and fall into being dissatisfied with God's timing, and which is sin. So, I mean, just to encourage people that have a chance to listen to this, like, not that it's right to fall into that trap, but, you know, reset, remind yourselves of the things of the Lord, and his timing is his timing. Obviously repent if you've fallen into trying to be satisfied in things outside of Christ, but be encouraged too that his word does recenter us, I think is kind of what I was trying to say too.
Well, Jared, do you want to close us out with perhaps a bit of gratitude or application there?
Yeah, no, Josh. I mean, I think it is appropriate to close where we did last week, which was being thankful for the Lord Jesus, who not only, like last week, talked about he was the only one who imaged God and perfectly had all the things of the earth appropriately ordered in his life, but he also conquered the variation and the effects of sin in this life. I mean, you think of his earthly ministry, conquered, not only showed his ability to have power over disease and creation and demons, and that, but ultimately death. And knowing that because he was obedient to death on the cross, he's at the right hand of God. The Revelation 4 and 5 throne room tells us that he is worthy to receive all the praise and honor and glory that God has. And so he tells us a new heaven and a new earth is coming. His life, death, and burial and resurrection showed us he has the power to overcome it. And now he's in the position of authority to do it. And now we're just awaiting. We're waiting for him to do it. And so that gives us hope that it's not just a fairy tale we're waiting for, that, yeah, happily ever after. There's reality to it because of Jesus. And that's comforting too.
Well, to put a period on the end of this week's episode, we just want to thank you so much, Mike and Jared. And Mike, what do you have in store for us next week?
Yeah, we're going to go ahead and run all the way to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes. And Jared brought up the very first week, the first session of this, that when he first read the book, you know, really the point of turning finally where he could, you know, kind of breathe a little bit was in the end of the matter, right? Chapter 12, verse 13, the end of the matter, all has been heard, fear God and keep his commandments. And so we're going to go all the way to the end, you know, giving a little quick synopsis of the rest of the book. And then we're going to take some time to just develop verses 12 and 13 and talk about that next week.
For more information about Faith Bible Church or about eternal life and the forgiveness of sins that only Jesus can offer, please visit our website at faithcanton.com or contact Pastor Jared or Mike at jared@faithcanton.com and mike@faithcanton.com. Also, we invite you to connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/faithbiblecanton or via YouTube at youtube.com/faithbiblechurch. From all of us at Faith Bible Church, goodbye, and we hope to see you next time.